From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made a long time ago in a galaxy far,
Whoa, Megan. This is a Star Trek theme. The Enterprise would never make the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
What? Oh, oops. Star Wars, Star Trek, it's all the same.
It's definitely not. You have no idea how offensive this is to our fans.
Jeez, I'm sorry. I didn't know, okay? I don't know anything about Star Wars.
Where have you been?
I fell asleep partway through the original movie a couple years ago, and that's pretty much all I've seen. Something about a princess with cinnamon bun hair and a chewy animal. Cut me some slack, man, okay? I'm busy. Let me try again.
It's Star Search with your host, Ed McMahon.
Whoa. Star Search? Hold on a second. Are you kidding me here?
Wasn't Ed McMahon in Star Wars? Oh, sorry. This must be it.
Starsky and Hutch are like 12 light years outside their jurisdiction.
I thought it was a show about cops. Star Wars is space cops, right? I'm getting closer. Give me some credit. Ugh.
You know what? Let me just click this for you.
There it is. Thanks, Max Schulte, for educating me. Our connection this hour was made a very short time ago, last night actually, in movie theaters not far away, where Star Wars fans turned out for Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, the final installment in the Skywalker saga. Over the last three decades, the space opera franchise has become a cultural phenomenon, from the films themselves to TV shows, comic books, video games, theme park attractions. Star Wars is everywhere, and fans around the world say they have high expectations for this newest film. So this hour, we'll have some fun with local fans who talk about some of their expectations and about the pressure director J.J. Abrams is under to stick the landing on the series. Even if you aren't a Star Wars fan, that concept may resonate. Think about the series finale of Seinfeld or Lost, or insert your favorite series here. And don't worry, there won't be any spoilers this hour. I have promised you, our listeners, no spoilers. So I have asked our guests to abide by that promise, much to their chagrin. I'd like to welcome my guest joining me in studio, my colleague Adam Lubitov, the film critic at City Newspaper. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And I don't mean to put you in a weird spot, Adam, but you have described yourself as a Star Wars agnostic.
Yeah, I enjoy the Star Wars films, but I'm not by any means a diehard fan. Like, I don't know the lore. I haven't gone back and read like the comics or the novel expanding the universe. I think they're fun films, and that's kind of the end of it for me.
That is totally fair, and you are well ahead of me, so I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Also joining us, Vanessa Cheeks, Star Wars fan and organizer of the Anomaly Film Festival. Welcome
Hello.
To you. Thanks for coming back. Tiffany Starpoli's here, Star Wars fan since 1980, and a broadcast producer and director. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
And Dan Howell, a Star Wars fan and personal trainer. Welcome back to you.
Thank you.
So, again, my thanks to my colleague Max Schulte, who was joining me for that little pre-recorded intro and found it hilarious that I know nothing or very little about Star Wars. But I'd just like to ask our guests, for people like me or people that may be Star Wars agnostics, how significant of a movie event is this? Obviously, you all are very excited and you care, but in the grand scheme of film and film premieres and such, is this fair to compare it to a Seinfeld finale type of situation? Is it bigger? Wow, cricket.
Don't have to talk at
all
once.
Right, the show's over. Have a good weekend, everybody. It doesn't matter.
Well,
Go ahead, Tiffany.
I'll take the first one on this. For me, it would have been if we didn't have so many additional side stories, right? And so to say that this is the last one, that's a big fat lie. We know it's going to continue.
The next one's in 2020, right? We don't know what that will be.
Well, we don't know what it'll be, exactly. So, and it could be, you know, raise children. I mean, come on. To say that this is the end of the Skywalker saga is kind of difficult.
It's
for
a
me
farce.
difficult for me to swallow. So it's exciting for us, yes, but it's not the end. We know it's not.
Okay. Even though it's the end of this particular trilogy, is that significant?
So they say.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So they say.
So they say. These come in triples. You know they're going to come out with another triple.
They're like, here's three more. Just kidding, everybody. Yeah. I mean, there's a good chance somehow something will continue. Even if it's just references, we'll continue seeing pieces of the story show up even if they take place in other parts of the galaxy, I'm sure they will continue referencing the 9 movies that set this tone.
And that's something that we were talking about prior to being on the air, the cultural phenomenon that this is, and it just is showing up everywhere. Dan, you were mentioning that. You can't turn around without seeing something Star Wars-based.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in spoofs of other TV shows. There are, you know, parody songs about it. There are theme parks now dedicated to Star Wars on both coasts. So it's something you really can't get away from. And kids today are into it as much as they were back then. So it just keeps resonating with people. Something in this story that just connects with viewers that want more and want to keep passing it on to their kids. And, you know, now the people that grew up with Star Wars are now making the Star Wars movies. J.J. Abrams was a Star Wars fan. Rian Johnson, Deborah Chow, Bryce Dallas Howard, they're all directing for Star Wars now. And they grew up as fans. That's amazing.
I think just because it's been around for so long, it's been, you know, over 40 years, it's been a part of people's lives for so long. It's mm-hmm. just, yeah, become ingrained in the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of those things that everyone knows a little something.
Even when you don't know something, you do you know something.
Exactly.
You did. You knew the cinnamon buns. You knew it.
Yeah. I got one. I read an interview with J.J. Abrams who said that he first said no to directing Star mm-hmm. Wars because he loved the films as a child and he didn't want to make a bad choice or have it not be fun anymore for him. Let's just play a hypothetical game here. If they called and said, Vanessa, we want you to be the next, you know, we want you to write the next film, would you say yes?
No. Fans can be unrelenting, and I definitely understand, you know, maybe especially growing up as a fan, you know, his apprehension to that. Because you're right, like, this is something, this is people's childhood. This is, you know, something that means a great deal to the people that grew up with it. So it can be hard to take that on. I'm glad that he did. You know, I definitely enjoyed his work, especially in the series. But yeah, it's one of those things where I think that not everybody is equipped. And, you know, not even just because they shouldn't put their own twist on it, but just because, you know, sometimes, man, fans can be mean. It's scary.
Well, there was a whole conversation about the Last Jedi. No. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I got it. And yes. What happened there with Rey? I'm nailing it today, guys. I'm feeling good. But that's something that you and I were talking about offline, Adam, how there was so much disagreement over that film. You know, some people trolling, saying that traditions weren't adhered to and such. So if you were given the opportunity, would you take that on, Adam?
No, absolutely not. Especially, yeah, seeing what happened with Rian Johnson, the director of The Last Jedi, and sort of the treatment he got because he dared stray even a little bit from kind of what people expect from their Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he even strayed that far, but because he went outside the lines a little bit, people did not take to that very well.
I just could say, Princess Leia flying, how does everyone feel about that? No, just no.
Who wouldn't be for Princess Leia flying?
It's so wrong.
Come on.
It was so wrong. So yes, I'm on the side of no, bad, bad, bad. Rian Johnson,
you're telling
bad.
Me if you got the opportunity to fly, you wouldn't be no?
No, I didn't say that. I said that she shouldn't have.
Why? Why you got to clip her wings?
Because they had the opportunity to kill her, and it would have been great. It would have been a great death.
It would have been a good death.
It would have been a good death,
right? It would have been a good death.
And I was like, okay, I'm okay with this.
But my friend and I were talking yesterday, and Star Wars ain't about that good death. Boba Fett fell in a pit. And
this
got
is a great
like,
point. But you know what? He's probably still alive. He's probably still alive.
Yeah, death is a way of not really lasting in these movies.
No, that's true.
It's very comic book-esque.
Good armor on, so he was covered. We know that. We've watched Mandalorian. We've got this.
Before we go too far down the rabbit hole, I just want to talk about expectations. No, this is good. Let's go down there. Our engineer Rob Braden is telling me that he's concerned these are all spoilers. These are from the older films.
That, and that's a good point. I would say spoilers are if it's the current film or, you know, anything that's a really upsetting thing from the new show. Right?
Like
I think the little details here and there, I mean, it's out there, right? Are we okay with that? But from the last one, if they haven't seen it yet, I'm getting a little bit of that.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
The rules are no direct spoilers from the new film because people are going out to see it in the next couple days.
100%.
And, yeah. Okay. So, Vanessa and Adam, you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany
yes.
and Dan, you have not yet.
Correct.
So,
correct.
I'll ask Tiffany and Dan, what are you most excited about and what most worries you thinking about what you're about to see?
I don't know what I'm worried about, per se.
What would you be displeased with?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I would hate to see something like, a character that, even if they haven't been around for terribly long, even if they've only been around for a short period, just those kind of like, oh, we weren't 100% sure what to do, so we're wrapping up the series, and they just kind of end a story without a culmination, which I anticipate happening, but will be disappointing.
I have a problem.
No comment.
And I'm not looking across the table.
Don't look.
Wow. Okay, yeah, we can't even make eye contact. There's spoilers going on in eye contact alone.
We should be doing this in cubicles.
Oh, dear. Okay, because for me, it would be very difficult for me to swallow the dark side winning. It would be very difficult for to end it with a downer, even though I do love the darker stories, right? But I don't want the storyline to end that way.
That's not what Star Wars is about.
It's got light, and you want the good guys to win,
Of course.
Or to be a little kind of a combination of both. I could handle that.
Yeah.
I could handle
for
that.
Sure.
You
for sure.
know? But it can't be a full-out dark end of the universe.
That would be tough to walk out of.
No, couldn't do it.
Adam and Vanessa, I don't want to ask you if you were disappointed or pleased because I don't want to manipulate the conversation in any way. But what I will ask you the same question I asked them going in before you saw it. What were you most excited about, and what were you concerned about? What would have displeased you?
For me, it's hard to be displeased with a Star Wars movie. I think that. I think every movie has something in it where you're just like, ugh, ugh, ugh. But at the end of the day, it's art. It's someone's vision for the story, and you could take it or leave it. You either like it or you don't like it. And so, I didn't read any of the reviews because I didn't want to do that to myself. But I went into it, expecting that there were going to be elements of it that I didn't like, and there were going to be things that I absolutely enjoyed. And it's Star Wars. How can you not enjoy space fighting? Like, how can you not enjoy things blowing up? How can you not enjoy, people, duking it out with lightsabers? So, I don't know. I think I just went into it understanding that there were going to be things that I, and there was one thing. I'm not going to talk about it, but anyway.
Now I'm so curious.
I know.
But I overall, I it was fine. It was good. It was a good time.
Okay. Adam, what were you most excited about? What would have worried you? What were you thinking about that you didn't want to see?
Yeah, I kind of already hinted at it, but I was a big fan of The Last Jedi and what Rian Johnson did with his time at the helm, and I was looking for those things that he had done differently to be continued, because I think nostalgia is so baked into this series. I mean George Lucas created the series because he wanted to pay homage to old movie serials and samurai films and westerns, and it's sort of been passed on to the characters of that original trilogy. The focus has always been on them. And when The Force Awakens came out, I fell in love with the new characters so much. I was excited to see them take center stage and not be beholden to, the Skywalker clan and find some way to make every single one of them connected somehow. And I liked that Rian Johnson had done a little bit of, distancing and making them their own beings, which I loved because, again, I was so instantly connected to those new characters of Rey and Poe, Finn and Kylo Ren. And so, yeah, I wanted more of them to be the focus and to be their own beings.
J.J. Abrams has talked a lot about the pressure that he felt to stick the landing on this. And even if it isn't the end, that must be very difficult. I think about Seinfeld and other important television show endings.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Wow.
What would sticking the landing look like this to you, Tiffany?
Yeah, it would be exactly like it can't be. You gotta draw. You got to walk a fine line. I think that what everybody had a problem with Rian Johnson's version is a lot of people had a problem. I don't know about everybody, obviously, but the over-jokiness, taking it a little too far, you know, making it almost a, because there's comedic moments in the movie, but you can't make the whole thing a comedy, right? You got to like balance it. There's got to be serious bits as well. And then, you know, like I said before, you've got to balance the dark with the light, right? Mm-hmm. So it can't go too dark. We can't end that way. It has to be hopeful. It has to be bright without being corny. So, my goodness, I couldn't imagine the difficult job it would be to write something like this and direct it properly and being open, you know, getting ready for that criticism, because it's going to be there. It's going to be there. Not everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever make anybody happy.
No.
But, Dan, what would make you happy in terms of the sticking the landing?
Yeah, I feel similar to what Tiffany's saying, where it's got to be, you know, an ending that feels satisfying. Even if you don't 100% agree with it, you can see, okay, I get where they were going. Maybe it's not what I particularly wanted, but the ending wraps up the story in a way that feels complete, where it's not a, oh yeah, but maybe there's a thread there that they'll just come back and wrap it up later, where it's a, okay, this feels complete now, where this is a 9-part series, you know, because that's nothing to sneeze at. You're also wrapping up 9 films. That's a pretty monumental task to tie all those threads together.
Do you think it's important to find a balance between being critically and artistically compelling, but also catering to what fans want in a certain sense? Are those mutually exclusive? Where do you find that question? Because you could just have fan fiction and just appease fans all the time. Does that make for good movies? I don't know. So what do you think, Adam? Is there a requirement to find a balance with those things?
I think you do have to find a balance because, I mean, obviously you don't want to do something that is going to make fans go away going, what have you done to my, you know, childhood? But at the same time, you don't want to completely cater to, I feel like, exactly what they're asking for, because I feel like there's no surprise. Like, you know, if you watch that film, you just come away going, oh, well, yeah, of course that's how that was going to go. And so I think the best of that is finding the things that please them, but also finding a way to surprise them at the same time. And I do think that's incredibly difficult, but I think that's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, what do you think? Is it important to find a balance?
Absolutely. I mean, the fans are the ones that are seeing it. That's what you're doing it for. So obviously you want to be able to, you know, like Adam said, you know, represent the series that they had originally fallen in love with. But I dare to say that, like I said before, it's art and it's creative. And so when you kind of go outside that box a little bit and challenge people's expectations, I think it opens the door for something new. For people who maybe like aren't as attached to the originals, to find themselves in this new landscape of what Star Wars has become. So that to me, I think, is also as important. Like, yeah, people love it. And they loved it, you know, when they were little. But now there are new little people who want to see themselves and find themselves in these stories. So it can be, you know, a balance needs to be had. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with pushing the envelope and maybe kind of going beyond that a little bit.
I'm going back to that Seinfeld ending for a moment, because I love the series. I'm in the camp of not liking the ending, and that's fine. But it didn't change my opinion of the series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even if you find that you don't like this movie, you probably still will all love Star Wars the way that you've loved it, I would suspect.
It's true. And there are enough offshoots and enough different pieces and parts to like. You know, so there are some of us who like certain aspects, and there are others who love the whole darn thing, and that's okay. I mean, there's so much material. There's not, you know, you're not going to not.
Yeah, yeah, you're not short on content.
No.
When it comes to Star Wars,
no,
you got
no.
A few options to explore. Here and there might
handful.
Be one or two
just
stories
few,
lying around. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you think of a good example? Or an example of an ending that has been very satisfying, and you look to it, whether it's a TV show, a movie, and you're like, oh, I loved this finale. This was the perfect conclusion to the storyline, the series, the saga. Is there anything that comes to mind? Oh, Tiffany, you're
nodding. Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was the greatest ending for me. It was exactly the way it should have ended. Now, I haven't seen there's an additional movie that's beyond, you know, the ending of the series.
Is.
Of course there is. So I haven't seen that yet, but it was it just tied everything up, and you were like, yes, exactly. That's right. And it wasn't all happy, because that was not a happy show. But, yeah, that was the one for me.
Mm-hmm. The rest of you look puzzled or pensive.
I usually don't make it to the end of a series. Usually by the halfway through, I'm like, ah, that's enough of this.
We're really?
Yeah, oh. No, I can't. I Seinfeld, know. I think, is the only one, and you're right. It's one of those things where you're watching, and you're like, all right. Like, but I still love watching Seinfeld. But usually, I don't know, the ending is very inconsequential to me. Hmm. It's more about the process of, like, watching it and things. Now, I will say I do have to, like, if I start something, I have to. I have to watch the end. But at the same time, it doesn't hold weight for me that it has to be, like, the final thing. I will say a comparative to me is, like, Die Hard and all the Die Hard movies, I think. Which, I would,
the
like.
The best Christmas the movie best.
It is ever. A Christmas movie, and anybody who wants to argue it, call right now. You know the number. But anyway. But yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, there are bits, there are pieces, there are movies that you like more, things that you like less, and you just kind of go back and pick whichever one. There's material there.
Okay. Adam, anything come to mind?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm having actually a really difficult time. I think it's...
That's so it sad, isn't it?
It might be. And I don't know if it's because I just... weren't any. I feel like the things that I loved that much, I don't... It's not the ending that I think of immediately. Mm. It's kind of just being in that world and thinking of it as current and ongoing, and it's not, yeah, how it ended and came to a close that apparently sticks with me, because yeah, I'm still racking my brain.
Well, we have time. We have so much time, so we can come back to you. Vanessa mentioned you know the number. If you want to weigh in on this conversation, I will share the number with you. We already have people lined up to share their feedback. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can join the conversation on Twitter. I'm at MMacMedia. You can also email the program at connections@WXXI.org. Let's head to the phone. And first up on the phones is Alice from Brighton. Go ahead, Alice.
Well, hi there. I am telling you a very proud story. A local Brighton High School fellow named Joe Nussbaum, now currently a director in Hollywood, created a resume film after he graduated University of Southern California Film School called George Lucas in Love. In 1999, it premiered, it made the rounds, it was in the Toronto Film Festival, and it is a gem of an 8-minute short. It's his resume film, a very successful resume film, I would say, because he's doing very well in Hollywood right now. So Joe Nussbaum is the director and co-writer of George Lucas in Love. It really is a hoot. It's how George Lucas might have created Star Wars. And at the time, there was, you know, other films like Shakespeare in Love was around then.
Okay.
And
Alice, thank you.
So please, you know, look in on it on any device at all. Just enter George Lucas in Love, and I think you will just get a big hoot out of it.
Oh, thank
and
you so
it's
much.
Very clever. You're welcome. Enjoy.
Thank you. George Lucas in Love. Thanks, Alice. Tiffany, you were nodding. Have you seen that?
I have. Okay. I have. I mean, it's been ages, but yeah, it was around the era of Shakespeare in Love, and yeah, it was cute. It was very cute. And she brings up a good point, though. I mean, there's a lot of fan fiction, a lot of fan films out there, including a friend of ours, B. Anthony Gibson, is a writer-director of a couple of, he's working on his second Star Wars movie, and right here in Rochester, you know, they've got the green screens and everything, and it's just fabulous.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
So yeah, it's great. So I mean, people have so, fans love this stuff, and they love getting into it and making their own stories, and I think it's great.
Well, we continue to put the pressure on Adam to come up with a good ending. Our listeners are weighing in. Charlie from Seneca Falls says, if you want a perfect ending to a great series, Saint Elsewhere is fabulous. So he's recommending that.
Wow.
Oh, my computer. Come back. And then Ellen in Brighton says that MASH is a fabulous show, which brings you from laughter to tears. So shout outs to MASH and Saint Elsewhere. And here's a question from Mike on Twitter, who is very proud of his Star Wars experience. He says, as someone who will see episode 9 tonight exactly 44 years and 2 days after first seeing episode 4, I want to know, what do your panelists think about people who say and feel Star Wars is a philosophical guide to life? You know who you are.
Well, it's so funny because right before this, we were talking about some people consider mm-hmm. Star Wars a bit of a religion, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we had someone who said they were Star Wars agnostic. I know it was tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, it's like there are spiritual aspects to this movie, this series. And it's a spiritual guide to life. There's a lot of these, you know, journeys through life, you know, like Lord of the Rings and things like that. All of these things can be seen as an analogy. You're nodding your head.
Yeah, down. Yeah. I think that's a perfect way to say it. They're all analogies to whatever you choose your spiritual journey to be. You can find some sort of connection to this story or a Lord of the Rings or some sort of fantasy-based story. If it's Harry Potter, whatever it might be, there's some sort of, if you read into it, religious overtone in all of these, where it's, you know, channeling good versus evil, light versus dark. You know, there's always something in there that someone can relate to. And, you know, it's that hero's journey of, you know, this person was just found and they're thrown into this larger world that they didn't know existed. And they have to find their way through it to get to the end and solve for X, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, you said you're relatively new to being a Star Wars fan. Do you abide by the Star Wars philosophy as your way of life?
Well, I mean, it's good versus evil, not a monster. Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, it's so easily spelled out for you, I guess. Like, you're watching Star Wars and it's like, these bad guys, these good guys, so be good guy. And so, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say the good guys are perfect, obviously. And I think that that's definitely one of the things they try to point out to you in the series. One, I guess my best example would be like Anakin Skywalker, you know, Jedi should not know love. Well, he flat out flouted that rule and look what happened. But like, I think, yeah, with any religion, there's good, there's bad to the good, good to the bad. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're watching this series, when you're watching Star Wars in general, you pick out the parts that mean something or mean the most to you. I wouldn't go as far, I don't know, for me to say that, you know, Star Wars would be like religious-esque, I guess, but I could definitely see how people who watch it, you know, feel that, you know, this is a good guide for life.
Yeah. I am so excited. We have great questions from our listeners, and listeners, I promise we will get to as many of them as possible. There's some surprises coming up here. So we'll do that right after our break. Before we take our break, though, I do want to ask you one more question. I'm going to start with Adam. The send-off to Carrie Fisher. She died in 2016 after filming her scenes from The Last Jedi. She does appear in the new film, but they're not using CGI. They're using those archival clips, footage from the previous films. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about the decision not to use CGI?
I appreciated that because I feel like there's something, I don't know, off when they try to literally resurrect an actor and create a new performance. So I appreciated that they stuck with, you know, footage. I believe it was actually mostly from Force Awakens. And it was more difficult doing it that way, and it's sometimes a little clunky the way they have to do that. I think I'm trying to write down. Oh yeah, I saw somebody refer to her lines in this movie as having a magic eight ball like vagueness, because I kind of have just like use phrases that aren't necessarily completely referencing what they're talking about.
Oh dear.
But they find a way to, I think, for the most part, make it work. Mm-hmm. And because they had to create some sort of send off, especially mm-hmm. considering that, you know, Han Solo and Luke had their kind of send offs, and this was supposed to be her final bow. So I think they mostly pulled it off.
Can I say I'm a little surprised that they made that decision, considering how good the deepfake Grand Moff Tarkin was in Rogue One? That was Rogue One, right?
Yes.
It was unbelievable. I just sat there going, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. You know, and yeah, I get it. I know it wasn't really him, but and also it was Princess Leia at the end of that as well, and it was just like, I was impressed. You know? So the technology's there.
Yeah.
Or at least it's getting very, very, very close to real.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just me it was super impressive. And I was like, I can't believe they were able to do this. But at the same time, during his scenes, I remember being like, there's something off.
Yes.
It's that uncanny valley.
It is.
Exactly.
That's what they call it, where it's like, something's off.
Oh, the uncanny
off.
Valley. I love that. Yeah. My finger
where it's
on it.
Usually like around the lips, don't move quite right. Yeah. And around the eyes, they don't flex the way a normal human one does. So we're super, 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 super close. But it's still one of those where it's like, if it's too long or too close, you're like, I'm a little skeeved out now. I don't know what I'm totally looking at.
So let's say it's successful here. Fans love it. You know, I'm not quoting for anybody. I'm just being hypothetical. Everybody likes it. Is this something that you think will continue to see, Vanessa, in different films and different series when actors die? Do you think we're going to bring them back via old footage or even CGI? Do you want to see that?
I hope not. I just, there's something about CGI that just irks my last nerve. I get it. It's like the way the technology is going, but it just drives me absolutely nuts. I don't know. I guess I'm used to, I don't want to say used to, but when, you know, back in the day, when a character died or needed to be replaced, they just found somebody that kind of looked like them and put them on the screen. It was like, okay, this is new person now. And you're like, yeah, sure, whatever, fine. Because you understand that it is acting. It is an act. Now, I'm not saying you can replace Carrie Fisher with just some stand-in. That's, you know, not going to happen. But I hope that real life actors, you know, get their due versus, you know, sticking, like, just doing CGI. It drives me nuts. I'm probably not the person to ask.
No, I want to hear what you think. Tiffany, what do you think?
No, and you bring up a good point, because I think especially in the Star Wars saga, and we like our puppets, you know, so we're good with
good
practical effects.
Yeah.
We want it to be real. So we're not going to want our humans to be CG either, you know, so I get it. I get it.
What about like a Weekend at Bernie's thing?
Bring a dead person? Okay. Wow.
That was dark. Wow. It's Friday.
It is dark.
Well, that's probably a good time to go to the break. So we're going to do that now, Rob, as I clasp onto my job here at WXXI.
Megan needs a minute.
844-295 is the number to call. Oh, that's not the whole number. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI. If you want to join this conversation about Star Wars, when we come back from our break, it's all questions and comments from Star Wars fans. So short break, more connections next. I'm Megan Mack. Monday on The Next Connections, we have a conversation about the year in climate. As the year draws to a close, we sit down with local climate activists to discuss the work that was done in 2019, how they feel about it all, if we made progress that will be sustainable, and then what they hope to see in 2020. Then in our second hour, a special, it's Hanukkah Lights, annual programming. Talk to you Monday. You're listening to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. A lot of laughing here during the break as we talk about Star Wars and what we're hoping for if they can stick the landing at the end of this particular series. I'm joined by Adam Lubito, film critic at City Newspaper, Vanessa Cheeks, organizer of the Anomaly Film Festival, Tiffany Starpoli, a Star Wars fan since 1980, and broadcast producer and director, Dan Howell, a Star Wars fan and personal trainer. And listeners, we're going to start taking your feedback. There is so much. I'm so happy to have you as part of this conversation. First up on the phones is Jack in Greece. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh. Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my call. I do know that one guy, Dan Howell, sitting there. So he's probably... Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dad.
Go ahead, Jack. You want to...
Yeah, what I was thinking of was you had asked a question earlier about a trilogy or a series of movies that really resonated. And the one that I would hope that Star Wars would wrap up similar to would be the Lord of the Rings series, where the ending was, you know, good triumphing over evil, which others have mentioned, and that, you know, there was sadness, but there was also closure. You know, the story was done, and if Star Wars succeeds like that, that would be wonderful. You know, just a thought to people of a certain generation like me, when Star Wars came out, the first movie, we were busy raising a family, but it was so different. The movie, because it was so creative, it seemed to come out of nowhere. And I think for me and my generation, that's the thing with Star Wars, is that the music, the story, the way George Lucas was able to weave in, like you said, all those other themes of Westerns and action and adventure. It was just a wonderful story. And those first three movies for me were you know, those were the ones that I still refer to as the best. But in any event, I would hope that it would be like that, similar to The Lord of the Rings, where the writing was so good and brought such closure. So thanks for taking my call, and Merry Christmas. It's a good conversation.
Oh, thanks, Jack. Thanks for calling. And a shout out to your son from from
thanks,
you.
Dad.
Viggy in the South Wedge says HBO's 6 Feet Under has the best ending ever.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I don't know. That never seen it.
Okay, yeah. Tiffany approves. Emma Ray, our intern, says she agrees with Jack that the Lord of the Rings series had a great ending. So we should do a whole separate show on this. I think so.
I just thought Harry Potter is another one.
It's a solid ending.
And it was appropriately dark, but also hopeful.
Yes.
You know? So it was like, it made sense. It's real life.
Yes. Yeah.
Although it's not real life. But okay.
Good guys win. It's,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we did it, but yikes.
But
things
people,
are rough.
But people died.
We're not in
upsetting.
A great place.
One thing that Jack said that really made me think was one of the reasons why I grew to become a Star Wars fan was because when it first came out, my dad was like, wow, this is different. This is new. So much so that he took my brother out of school on the day that it premiered. Just broke him out of Franklin, was like, we're going to go see this. And took him to go see the first Star Wars movie. And so this past summer when I went to go, you know, I visit my family in D.C. every year, you know, my brother was gathering his kids and my nieces and nephews around. He's like, all right, we're going to watch Star Wars. And it was like this. So now it's like this family thing. And so I think that, you know, people out there recognize like, wow, this is something special. It's something different. And that has carried on throughout the years. So whether you love or hate the films, there is still that underlying significance, I think, to people who have watched it and grown up with it. So mm-hmm.
Up next on the phones is Aaron in Rochester. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
If you could be any Star Wars character, I don't know any of these people, by the way. If you could be any Star Wars character, who would you be and why? Gut response, this says a lot about you as a person.
Wow.
Any Star Wars.
No pressure.
This is rough.
Man, that is tough.
Yikes.
Vanessa, you're up first.
Yo, why? All right, Aaron, thank you for calling. gut response, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but like C-3PO. I think I know, because like, so homeboy's a know-it-all, and people love and hate him for it. He has all the knowledge. He can speak, what is it, like 6 million languages, and I love him. Everything comes out of his mouth. I'm like, oh. You tin, like, just like, I don't know why. I don't know why, but I'm going to say C-3PO.
All right. Adam.
I don't know if this is cheating, but I'm going to pick a character that shows up in the new film that I instantly fell in love with. He is a creature by the name of Babu Frick.
Oh, my God.
Who is kind of a black market droid mechanic, but he just seems like he's living life and enjoying every minute. And I fell in love with him instantly.
Okay, Dan.
I'm going to go with Salacious Crumb. Listen.
So
I love
great.
That answer.
Right?
He's got a
so
great gig.
Great.
He just
like,
love him.
Tiffany.
I was thinking I'd probably be one of those, like, you know, the dancers in the cantina with the two tentacles coming out of their heads.
Yeah.
I'd be one of them. They got a good, you know, they got a good vibe going on. And
can't go wrong with
good
that.
Vibe. They've got a good, you know, that's a nice life.
The one who tried to escape and got eaten.
I was going
to
say. Oh.
Not the one at Jabba's palace.
Okay.
No, okay. Not Jabba's slave girl.
Right, thank
no,
you.
No, no, no.
Thank you.
I have a good job at the cantina. It's consistent.
I see you're working 9 to 5. Getting them coins.
5 to 9.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a cantina. They don't serve eggs. All right, I got you.
Well, Aaron, I hope that helps answer your question. Thank you for that.
No, thank you guys so much, and I'll see a couple of you guys on Friday. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for the entertainment, Aaron. I love that question. Here's an email from Rick who says, let's finally admit it. The original 3 films, revered by fans, were intensely flawed, obtusely acted, undeniably corny, impossibly illogical, and supremely overrated. can't wait for number 9.
That's why we love them. I'm confused. Was that a critique?
I don't know. We do happen to know this, Rick. So.
Oh, wait. Repeat the question. I completely did not pick up on this.
Let's finally admit it. The original 3 films, revered by fans, were intensely flawed, obtusely acted, undeniably corny, and possibly illogical.
Don't listen to him. I'm married to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, wait, it's Rick.
Give me a break. He's just sick of people, me talking about.
Oh, I see.
Is it meant
going,
to be corny,
you know, and going
though?
To toy that's shows. He's sick of amazing. Me going to the toy shows.
I do have a serious question, though, about that. Are they? Are some of them meant to be corny and campy?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I think there's an inherent corniness built in, because it's the roots in serials. I feel like that's just kind of the very, there's a sincerity that I think sometimes comes across as cheesiness.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
For sure.
And part of its charm.
And they have corny jokes, you know, that we're just like, and we go, we're like, laugh at them. Because they made us laugh as kids, so now as adults, we laugh at it. Oh, it's fine.
That's true.
It's
haters going to hate.
Yeah. So. You don't understand, Rick. You don't understand me.
There's an intervention.
The next time he tells you that he
Star
loves
Polar
you,
House.
Can you just say, I know.
He wouldn't understand the reference. It wouldn't land.
It's heartbreaking.
A waste.
All domestic issues aside. I know Tiffany wants to talk about Mandalorian and some of these other related.
It's Baby Yoda time.
Okay, yeah. The whole Baby Yoda thing. Moving beyond the 9, we have this continuation of the cultural phenomenon with Mandalorian. Tiffany, I'll let you.
Well, I'm curious how the panel feels about it. And has everyone seen it?
I haven't.
Okay, so one has not.
I have not seen the most recent episode.
Okay, but you've watched
but
a number of them.
It, yes.
And Dan, and I caught up last night. So I just find it to be an incredible, a gift to the super fans. Mm-hmm. There are so many Easter eggs in this thing that you can't. You have to kind of go through it with a fine tooth comb and go and look in the background, and you're seeing all sorts of little things. And there are characters that show up that they were, you know, it's like, oh, that was a creature from the cantina, and oh my god, now we know who they are and what they do, and you're learning things about different creatures that you know. It was just so exciting. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating because they kept building it as like a Western in space. And I was like, that's okay. All right. I'm not hesitant, but Dave Filoni's on this. So, all right. The stories are solid, and it is. It's, you know, again, it leans heavy into that nostalgia of this is why we love the series. And I'm 100% here for it.
Yeah.
It's so well done. The guest actors that come in are great. And I'm usually surprise, I'll be watching an episode, and at the end I'm like, who was that in the credits roll? And I was like, oh, no way.
I mean, even the voice of the droids.
Yes.
The voices of the droids are
crazy.
People that we know, and it's just, oh, it's fabulous.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just, it's well done. It is. It's very much, it's a show made for the fans that have been around for 40 plus years.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I
but
feel
it's
like,
still good.
Like, I feel like that's where the difference between this and the main franchise. The main franchise has kind of shifted into, we got to please everyone, right? So they have to kind of walk this line and have, you know, make sure the young ones are being covered and the old guard is being covered. This one is like straight up, we're just going for, you know, for people who have been living it and breathing it for many years.
And what's interesting, so over the past year and a half, my best friend has been watching Star Wars for the first time with me. So we've been going through movie by movie, and we got caught up a couple weeks ago. And she texted me the other day. She's like, so I've been watching The Mandalorian on my own. And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Did you feel like you pushed her down the street and her little training wheels came off?
I really feel like this is a big step. And I was like,
Baby
you're
Yoda
watching
is walking.
It. You're ahead of me now. This is amazing.
Go into the world. Use the force.
Float away, little leg pod. So it's one of those. Again, these stories continue to resonate, even with people that are fairly new to it, that haven't been exposed but get it.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we have time to talk about what's next, because this may never end. We may be doing one of these shows every year. Every year I will come on with some cheesy intro about how I don't know anything. So, no, I joke. But I really, I'm glad you all love it, and I will find time to sit down and appreciate
you don't
it
have to
lie
to us.
You
it's
do.
All right. It's
all
fine.
Right.
It's fine.
I feel like I have to
be
kind of nice.
We get it.
I watched a chunk of The Last Jedi the other night, so watch 35 minutes.
See?
Good for you.
I found time in my day to do this for you, my friend. But where do you think this going next? Where do you see it as going next? So we've got 2022. That's the next film mm-hmm. coming out. And then 2024, and then 2026. What do you anticipate, Adam?
At least my hope is that, kind of what I said with why I like The Last Jedi, I want to see more stories unconnected from mm-hmm. the stories we've already, you know, had told to us. I want to see some weird, obscure corner of this universe, because it's been built out so much that I want to see stories set there and with completely new characters. That's my hope. That's what I hope they decide to start doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, what are you hoping?
The same, you know, just something unique and different, that even if, you know, the regular fan base or the original, I guess, fan base can't relate to, that new people can relate to. I know, you know, girls seeing Rey as this power figure was something monumental. So maybe they can find the next thing that, you know, resonates with other people. I love the idea of shows like The Mandalorian, because they are so well done. And I don't think that this show could have been made possible without the success of Star Wars, and especially the newer trilogy. But mm-hmm. So I would love to see more small breakouts that are just so thoroughly well done and enjoyable, you know, just become available and explored. Because I think that's one of those things where you can start it and finish it and not have to be so dedicated to like this big monumental movie, but you can kind of like flush out a story and then start somewhere else and, you know, explore different parts of the galaxy, as they say.
Mike on Twitter wants to know if, with advancing technology, will we see the earlier films remade?
Oh, please don't.
No.
Oh, please don't do that. Because they kind of did that with the special mm-hmm. edition.
Special editions.
Right?
Yeah.
And they tried to make up. In fact, my character, the Cantina Dancer, was from the special edition. I was realizing
true.
That. No, bad. But, you know, she's good.
But no, it's the same actress.
That's fine.
So they brought her back for it.
That's fine. That's fine. But no, I would have a real problem with. There's no. Why mess with perfection?
Just leave
why
it.
Do we have to. Just leave it. Leave it alone.
And I think part of it is. It's representative of that time period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was new. It was different then. It feels like it's from that era. So would that work if they made it now? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, it would it land the same way? Probably not, because it wouldn't have that, like, what is this? This is different. This yeah. feels different. Even like my dad said, you know, even the music in it, which we didn't even get to the music on it. Which,
I know,
like,
Dennis on Twitter wanted to talk about
mackerel,
the music.
John Dennis. Williams. Like, holy mackerel. Those themes are crazy. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think you could redo it in a way a studio would want to.
No.
I don't think it would be the way they would expect it to go. Where it'd be like, well, right, but it already happened. And it already exists. And we already like this, and there's so many extensions of it now, then it's a, well, how do they all fit together now?
Mm-hmm.
Where it just gets confusing. We don't need that Halloween franchise timeline where it goes in five different directions and no one knows what order to watch them in.
Are you disappointed by the Disney takeover?
No. We
have a listener writing in saying that it's clear the fan group present in today's conversation don't know Star Wars. Disney's new rendition is 100% marketed to everyone in such a way that makes the content superfluous. And people that seem to appreciate it are feeding into the corporate gears that don't care about the art.
Well, no,
I don't think anyone's hating on the original films at all. I think they're loving them.
No, my goodness. We adore them. What this person brings up a good point, though, is that once Disney took over, how do you make this appealing to the masses? And so that main franchise, like I said, is kind of walking that middle ground, you know? But now we have these offshoots. And that is Disney. Disney owns all of that. Disney is saying, yes, Mandalorian, here you go. I don't have a problem with that. When I first heard Disney was going to take over, I was like, oh, God, no. This is going to be bad. Because I'm not a huge Disney fan. But they've done a great job. They've married the right directors with the right projects, you
yes.
know? And it hasn't always landed. It hasn't been perfect.
Right.
But they're, I mean, Rogue One was under their jurisdiction, was it not? I believe
yeah.
it came out,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And I thought,
that was their first
that's one.
One
of my favorite of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. It's
an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So I just, I don't think Disney's ruining it. And I'm a, trust me, I'm one of those people that doesn't like the new, you know, the special edition. I had a problem with it. I don't like 1, 2, or 3. I don't need to watch them again. I just watched them once. All right? I get you. But, you know,
and I feel like, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I feel like the Disney argument is kind of leaving out the fact that we got three movies, new movies, set in that universe without Disney's involvement, and people didn't like those either, for the most part.
Yeah.
At the prequels, episode one through three.
Yes, right. Exactly. Once Disney took over, they kind of went, uh-oh, that was a mistake. Let's mm-hmm. fix this. How do we fix this? Let's get J.J. Yeah. Abrams. Perfect.
Right.
Good job.
Yeah.
All right, down to our last few seconds. No, there's a little more than that. Oh. Final thoughts. What do you hope for the grand future of Star Wars? How long do you want this to keep going on, Dan?
I mean, as far as how long it goes, I mean, that could be, geez, who knows? Because like that, if they continue expanding these stories into series, I mean, we know there's an Obi-Wan Kenobi series coming to Disney Plus in 2 or 3 years. We know that's happening. We know they're going to start making other trilogies in other parts of the galaxy. This could keep going forever. More books, more comics, more video games. Not in our lifetime.
Yeah, we're here for it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Vanessa.
Greedo shot first.
Adam, you get the final word.
Wow.
Yeah, I hope it keeps going. And I will say, I thought of an ending that I liked. Friday Night Lights was a film series, or a TV series, whose ending I was satisfied with. So All right, toss that out there.
Perfect. Just in time. Thank you, Adam Lubiteau, Vanessa Cheeks, Tiffany Starpoli, Dan Howell. Thank you all for being here. It's always fun having you all on the show. My thanks to Max Schulte, who helped me out with the intro today. Emma Ray's our intern, Emma Ray Stein. Rob Radin's our excellent engineer. Dolores Perlato is our lovely volunteer. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.